Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go! When's the last time they won a road game? Like 5 years?
Long time coming, man. Long time coming, that's for sure.
Woo! Boy, was that needed. Was that needed? Oh my God. How many painful moments this season and painful moments on the road last season? And to finally get that. Feels so good. I'm posting the link in the live link in the thread on the board. What do you think, man?
I mean, hey, they choose to play when they go to Illinois. That's for sure.
They do. They have Illinois' number, man.
Yeah. No, and I don't know what the case is, but it couldn't have happened at a better time. I think, you know, if you're looking at this team and you would think they were maybe on the brink of either just like packing it in, even though they were 10-6 coming in to tonight or today, you know, a game like this could definitely swing you. It also helps that, you know, Illinois has that ranking, that number 10 ranking in front of their names to help out with a little boost of confidence before a stretch of games here that, again, Maryland should have a chance in. And has a chance to keep this thing rolling. But I thought it was a very clutch performance by, you know, I would say the two guys who we expected it most. And it's kind of, I mean, I think Illinois was down some guys.
Yeah.
They just weren't ready for Jameer, man. They weren't ready to stop him, you know, getting into those paint touches. And then as we saw from an early standpoint, you know, Juju just manned the paint. And I kind of thought when they would counter it with Dane Danger off the bench that maybe his physicality would kind of throw a wrench in things because you go from Coleman Hawkins, who's very versatile on both sides, to Dane. And, you know, I didn't think it skipped a beat when they made a change.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking ahead. This kind of – it doesn't quite put them back on the bubble yet. But if they can string some wins together, then they're going to get back in bubble conversation. If and when that happens and it gets to tournament time and the tournament committee is looking at Maryland, are they going to say, yeah, they won that game, but Terrence Shannon wasn't there. Like, is there going to have this asterisk over it, do you think?
I think we just wait and see on how Illinois responds. I mean, because they were without, you know, you think about Terrence Shannon, who, you know, they're probably going to be, you know, I don't know any of the insides into that, but, you know, they might be without him or likely will be without him for the rest of the season. Okay. But then they were also, I didn't do enough homework, pregame stuff coming into this, but they also have another guard, Sincere Harris, that didn't get in the game today. I don't know if he's battled an injury or what, but just in terms of from a defensive standpoint, he's a guy that you could throw at Jameer and really has some dog to him, at least to just have some sort of chance in fighting over screens and, you know, just keeping pressure on Jameer. I still think Jameer wins that matchup even if he plays, but I think this is I want to word it like this. I think this is the only winning formula for this Maryland team, but I don't know how realistic it is moving forward. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer or anything, but it's just like, you know, you have Jameer and Juju who had two outstanding games.
Monster games.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, Geronimo hits his first three of the season.
Good game.
I think the theme of this season, correct me if I'm wrong, is just like, can we get a little bit more from Dante Scott? You know, he chips in with 9. He has a couple of big plays. He did a really good job, you know, being that other physical presence next to Juju in the paint. I guess you could hang your hat on, you know, Jamie didn't really get a lot of opportunities today to shoot it and make an impact. But I think a lot of things went Maryland's way today. And there's games like that you have to take advantage of. And if you're a good team, you do take advantage of those things. So then
you know what didn't go Maryland's way? The goddamn foul shooting. I mean, foul calling. Foul calling. Foul shooting too. But, oh, my God. Can they stop doing this road team, home team foul calling thing? It's so painful to watch. My God.
What I will say is they got – They got a blessing in that in Coleman Hawkins' fifth foul because it was really smart from Deshaun to, you know, get that switch and see an attack. But I think that could have easily been a no call, especially.
But how many no calls did they get in their favor throughout the game? It was so lopsided, like 3-1 almost.
Yeah.
This happens over and over again in the Big Ten where the home team gets these calls. And it happens for Maryland sometimes too, and I don't like that either. How about just call it even both ways? Like, oh, God.
It's just you just got to be consistent whether or not so those guys can adjust and say, hey, we're going to have a physical one today or, you know, the tic-tacs are coming. And, you know, that can really change the course of a game. But, you know, hey, I think at this point, the fan base and especially Kevin Willard will take him however he can get him.
Yeah. So we got a nice comment in the chat from Kevin. He says, "You're killing the vibes, Colby. You're killing the vibes."
Hey, I don't mean to be a vibe killer. I think Maryland fans have been waiting, you know, for a win like this all season. They finally got it. Enjoy it. It's a top 10 team at their place. I don't think it could have been much better.
Yeah, and then Ethan Podbereski. Maryland got two wins today against Illinois and against the Big Ten refs. He's backing up.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're getting comments from everywhere. We got some Facebook. We got Twitter. We got YouTube. We got people all over the place. They're saying – more kind of stuff agreeing with us. And Ken says he still loves you, Colby, even though you're killing the vibes. Today is the day. It's like when you win the game, you say you're allowed to have 24 hours. What is it? To celebrate, but then it's back to focus. So for today, we should focus on the positivity, right?
I think this is a performance and this is the team that the fans have been hoping for all season long. You know, I think before the season, there was a lot of hype around Deshaun Harris-Smith just being a potential one and done. And so, like, when you put that perfect picture on the wall of, like, okay, how do I see this team playing? You know, I'm sure that there would have been a lot more contributions from him, you know, and even with Dante Scott, even though he did have a decent performance. But, I mean, whether or not it was Jameer and Dante, Dante and Juju, whoever, whatever the combo is, at this point, you just take it, you keep moving on, and you see if you can do it again next game.
I do think DHS is starting to show signs, don't you? Some things are starting to click for him and a little better the last like few games. And I know he didn't score that much today, but he had the last game, he did score much better. And I think there's signs. Do you agree or no?
He is. I've been watching him closely and just kind of been asking around and trying to get like a real, because like, I'll be honest with you, like when I've taken a step back too, just kind of how I evaluate, you know, prospects, and I was extremely high on Deshaun. You look at him, he's a WCAC player of the year, a Gatorade player of the year. On every national spotlight that he got, he dominated. I think the biggest adjustment has been for him. He was so physically dominant at the high school level, is when he makes this jump to college, his physicality will show in flashes, but it's not anywhere near enough to win him possession by possession. And he's never really had to adjust, you know, in any other way to that, because either way at the high school level, AAU or for Paul the Sixth, he was going to outbody whoever was in front of him. And now, you know, between the speed and between the role that he's, you know, asking to play in terms to pick and choose his spots next to Jameer and Juju with their touches, I think it's just a learning experience. And games like this are huge. I think he's still got to get stronger with the ball. Once he does get in the paint, he's looking to kick it out. We see him fumble it a lot when he's not going up to the rim. But just, you know, little stints that and growing pains that any freshman has to go through. But I think it's critical to build those now, so that I think it's safe to say, pending any, you know, decision to transfer, which I don't want to bring that up, I don't want to kill the vibes, that we're forming him for years to come. And, you know, again, he has all the traits and he has all the physical things to be a dominant player in the Big Ten for a long time.
I'm going to pull up the stats.
From today?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Yep. I got them on my screen as well.
Okay. Jameer Young and Julian Reese obviously dominating points-wise, 48 of the 76 points, and then you see everybody else's contributions there. Anything else sticking out to you, Juju, with the double-double? Deshaun Harris-Smith with 8 boards.
Yeah.
Now he's, 2 assists, he's a block. Yeah, he's active. Like, he's starting to come around. Kaiser's still kind of the same, I think. Would be nice to see him do something except being just a 3-point specialist.
Well, I think too, especially for Jamie, gained a really good experience today on the defensive end guarding Damask, because that is not an easy task to take on. As we've seen, he's blossomed into one of the bigger, the better players in the Big Ten. And, you know, there were a lot of times where Damask got the best of him, kind of exposed him and got easy buckets. But, you know, you look at him and he ends with 26. But just everywhere else, man, it was just a lot of really good. I thought they did a great job trying to look at the numbers here, even though, I mean, you read it, 15 offensive rebounds for Illinois. I didn't feel like that it was a 15 offensive rebounds that, you know, really came back to bite Maryland.
15 and 11, yeah.
Yeah.
Maryland won overall, though, 30-26.
Yeah.
That's just because it's partially because Illinois just had more shots, didn't they? Oh, no, they didn't. Maryland had one more, 65-64. They just missed more. So there were more rebounds in that end.
And there was a ton on the Illinois side. I mean, I saw 3 or 4 that touched every part of the rim and then rolled out. So it's just one of those. But then, you know, you listen to the telecast with Robbie Hummel, and he just made a simple point. Like, Maryland's just playing harder. And I think that there's been a lot of games this year that we've seen the other team just be playing harder than us. You know, Maryland, and it just shows that when we're, I think down the stretch about 4 or 5 minutes left is when guys like Dante Scott and DHS especially did a really good job on the glass at both ends that would either earn them extra possessions or close down big possessions that could have really helped momentum for Illinois. So just really an entire, you know, team effort. But I mean, you look like, I was kind of shocked. I thought Swanton Rogers, you know, we saw him go in and get that quick bucket there when he was operating with Jameer in that ball screen. Now, of course, you want to get Juju in back in the game as quickly as possible. But I thought even just that little I wouldn't call it a garbage bucket at all, but one of those buckets that just kind of get lost in the wayside. Those are the type of plays that, you know, can really separate you in a game like this, especially on the road.
I think one of the biggest plays of the game was DHS's three, what was a 4-point game. Illinois had cut into the 8-point lead, cut at the 4, and then DHS hit that 3-pointer to bring it back to 7. That's when it was like, okay, I think they're going to win this game. That, yeah. Don't you agree that that shot?
Yeah. I mean, listen, in any game, when you get Jordan Geronimo and Deshaun Harris-Smith hitting the 3,
yeah,
you're either down by a lot or everything's going in your way. So, I mean, and further to your point, when Deshaun makes a 3, not only is it like, you know, not only is it big for his confidence, big for momentum, but with it being him making that 3, it just adds a whole nother layer to that play.
They still shot 23.5%. They're awful from 3.
I was texting with coaches during the game, and I was just, I don't know that I've ever seen a team miss as badly on wide open shots as I have this one. And I'm not just talking about miss or makes. I'm talking about, like, it's not, they're just short. I mean, they're going on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Off the backboard, they're clanking off the corner of the rim. They're not even grazing the rim. I'm not really sure what it is, and it's I scratched my head about it. I mean, the other day I was talking with John Lamothe when he was in town, and you know, me and him were just chatting it up and kind of discussing what's going on down there, and he was like, "Look, I'm not sure. I can't put my thumb on it." And you know, obviously we were talking off the record, but he was just like, "In practice, the stuff's fallen, and everybody looks like the fans probably would want them to look, and just for whatever reason, when the game starts, it's a different result." But to paint it in a positive picture, it's not like they it's not like they came out and buried 12 to 15 threes today, and then we leave this game like, "Oh man, is this doable again?" This is the type of style that they're going to play the rest of the season, and we see that it's good enough to be the top 10 team.
I'm going to bring up the schedule now so we can kind of look ahead, because it feels like maybe there's kind of a reason to look ahead now. Now, this is Torvik, and it's showing them losing most of these. However, after this game gets added in, you can bet that a lot of these numbers are going to change quite a bit. So some of these might turn to wins, and some of the bad losses might turn to much closer losses. Northwestern on the road coming up on Wednesday, home against Michigan State. Tough games. Iowa, another tough game. The next kind of game where they'll be maybe a favorite, depending on how these numbers shake out, against Nebraska at home. It's 4 games from now. It looks tough. But if they're playing like they did in the second half against who was it that they just beat just before this? Oh, it's in front of me, Michigan. Sorry. And then now how they looked against Illinois. If they've turned some kind of corner, these are all very winnable games too. And maybe you go on a roll. Maybe you got that. Maybe you get that surge that they've had a couple of times where it propels them towards a tournament, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you look at that, the next stretch of games, you know, and I think obviously the biggest thing for any team playing against Maryland is how you're going to stop Jameer. I think right. the big thing to look at with this Northwestern matchup is him and Boo Booey going at each other. That's going to be a very, very intriguing matchup. But again, if they're able to get that type of – and, you know, you can't ask for that type of productivity from both Jameer and Julian every single game. But, you know, if you get your Dante, you know, Dante Scott performance where he's 14-9, you know, Geronimo ducks him with a couple of easy buckets, and then you get a couple threes out of Jamie, and then Deshaun muddies it up how he does. As you said, I mean, they're very winnable games. It's going to be a lot different style in each one, but that's the Big Ten.
And no more Purdue, so don't have to worry about that. The Big Ten isn't great. Every team is beatable besides Purdue, and they're done with that. So maybe they can go on the run. Maybe.
They showed it today. I mean, yeah. Now the water settles. And, you know, again, as you stated, you allow Maryland fans to really celebrate this one and move on. But these next two games, you know, again, against a Northwestern team who has one of the best guards, you know, in the country in Boo Booey, and Michigan State who routed Rutgers today. And, you know, Tom Izzo, you know, for those who are watching this are probably active on social media, but you saw him go after his team after a recent game and see how they responded. But they're still very much a wild card, you know? So there's a lot of these teams in the Big Ten, man. You can't find their pulse and you can't get a great grasp on it. But I wouldn't even limit that to the Big Ten, man. I mean, you saw, I think, what, 8 of the top 10 teams in the country lost over the past week. You know, there's just no telling the parity is at what it seems to be like an all-time high.
So if there is going to be a chance at getting that large bid, they're 11-6 now, 3-3, with some brutal losses, Davidson, UAB. And then they've got, you know, the Big Ten losses, which aren't as bad on the resume. This is their only good win. Wouldn't you say? I mean, what do they have to do you think? 13-7, 14-6, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, tough because, like you said, you're looking at this schedule. So, you know, you have to take care of the home games. And then their next two games at home are going to be Michigan State and Nebraska. And Nebraska is no easy feat either. But, you know, you have Northwestern, which is going to be, again, a dogfight. Iowa, you know, they're going to play a certain type of style. But, I mean, if you're talking about being a – trying to look at these next 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, because now then when you get to that 9-10 game, looking at their next 10, that's when their next two ranked opponents are, with Illinois being one back at home, and then at Wisconsin. So within this next 10-game stretch, I mean, what are you thinking? You have to
– 8-2.
I mean, that would be –
That's what you have to do.
Scenario, right? Like, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at – if you're looking at an at-large bid, yeah, I mean, you need to take care of business, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. I think through that 10 game, I mean, if they went 6-4, it's a dumb question, but are you happy with that? Considering
where they are, you would say that's better than what they've been, but they need to be better than that to get into the tournament. So I'm not taking 6-4.
Because what would that put them at? 17-10, and then they would have four remaining games, regular season games left. So
Rutgers, Northwestern, Indiana, and Penn State, all winnable games. You know, if they're 17-10 with those four games and say they go 3-1 and they're 20-11, that's close, but they have the brutal losses. So their KenPom, their analytics are going to be really bad. They're going to have to win games in the Big Ten at that point. You really need to – it's got to be 21-10, 22-9 overall, something like that to counteract the losses, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean that's the issue there. Like you go and you have those. That's why they say like those losses early in the season can absolutely haunt you, and that's why we've seen some of these programs be so particular about how they schedule, especially those bye games. I know UAB. You know, I know that wasn't like a bye game, but they're gonna have to take care of business. And I'm just hoping that someone else can rise to the occasion other than Jameer and Juju, because I know we haven't – well, we've seen it maybe once or twice this year, but I'm really hoping the ghosts behind Juju getting in foul trouble are behind us, because they do not need that.
I just popped that back up because they updated it. So okay. They got the Illinois win in there now. They two more wins in the projected record now. That's not enough. But if you were going to make a rebound and get into the tournament, this was the start you needed to do that.
Absolutely. Game. Absolutely. This is a huge game. This is a huge game. Not only, and I'll say this, not only for like, you know, for the fan base to get back and fired up. Again, just from folks I've been talking with, like this was massive for culture, massive for locker room, massive for these guys to get back together.
Massive for Derrick Queen. You guaranteed him last time.
I know I guaranteed
him. I had to bring him up once on the episode, right?
Of course. I don't feel any more confident or cloudy in that statement. And Derek's given no sort of breadcrumbs to feel one way or the other. So I don't know. I mean, all I will say is I was also speaking with somebody who I know that is on Indiana, and man, they got that NIL set up. That's what I would say. Not for I'm not in terms of Derek, but
just in general.
They got that NIL set up, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, I know we reached your time limit. Awesome game for the Terps.
Yes, it
let's
was.
Celebrate, and then let's see. Can they do it again Wednesday? They do it again Wednesday. Now we're talking. Now it's for real. Now it's three games in a row. Now there's a turnaround. Yeah. And now there's a real chance to believe. So let's see if they can do that. Colby, thanks for joining. Thank you, everybody else, for joining. I don't know when we'll be back. Maybe we'll be back at our regular time next Wednesday. So, oh, no. They're playing Wednesday, so probably not. Yeah, hopefully post-game. There you go.
Maybe post-game, yep.
Yeah. All right.
Keep the good vibes going. Keep the good vibes.
Yes, good vibes. Huge win for the Terps. Season turnaround, season-saving win. Let's hope. All right, thank you, guys. This is IMS Radio.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.